and I know who holds my hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it good to know the one who holds tomorrow? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer while we're standing here this morning. Father, we just love you, Lord. We're so thankful, Father, for the ability to come, Lord, to the house of worship this morning. Lord, and to magnify your name, Lord. We're thankful for the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, that no matter what trials of life may come our way, Lord, we know that you have ordained each one, Lord, that you are the one that holds tomorrow, Lord, that nothing comes our way but what you have foreseen and foreordained it, Lord, and allowed it for our good. And yet, even in the midst of those trials, oh God, you're the one right there holding our hand, Lord, leading us and guiding us through it, Lord, giving us strength, Lord, and virtue, Lord, and forgiveness, Lord, for our failings, and encouraging us along the way, Lord, picking us up when we fall and helping us to move on. Oh, Lord, we just love you this morning, Lord. You're such a gracious Father. You're such a loving and caring Father. Lord, providing everything that we have need of. Lord, this morning we're looking to you in this service, Lord. We want you to be glorified, Lord. We want you to be worshiped. You to be our honored guest, Lord. We want you to speak to us, Lord. Certainly we have needs, Lord, and we're looking to you to meet those needs, Father, whatever they may be. But, Lord, even beyond our own individual needs, Father, we want to minister to you, Lord. We want to wash your feet this morning. We want to lift you up and glorify you, even here in the midst of whatever we are going through as individuals. Lord, may we be honoring to you, Lord. We want to lift you up to your rightful place as the God of heaven and earth. Lord, I pray that you would bless your word this morning, Father. Bless your people, Father. Lord God, may there be fruit, Lord, from your word. We know that you don't send it without a purpose in mind and without fruit to be expected on the other end, Lord. And Father, we're trusting in that this morning. We're not looking to our own abilities this morning, Lord, but we're looking to you for all things. I pray that you would just be with us and help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Good to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. I just want to get right into the word this morning if we could. Amen. Just greet you in the name of the Lord. As it was mentioned, we just want to remember our pastor, Brother Baker, as he's traveling, and the different ones that are with him, Brother Mike Price, Brother David Seiler, also with him, ministering there, and of course, Brother Mike Hea as well. And I don't know if it was mentioned, but we did hear a report yesterday. They had baptized 7 people yesterday, so which would have been, let's see, we heard it yesterday morning, so that would have been Saturday night, so that would have been Saturday. Have to do the math on that. They're about 13 and a half hours ahead of us. So you just take whatever time it is, you add an hour and a half, 12 hours ahead, and you've got it. So, if that makes sense or not. It makes sense to me. So that's how I remember it. But that means it's the middle of the night there right now. But we just want to remember them in prayer. There's an established work there in the capital, as you know, you've heard, and there in Yangon, the capital. But and certainly they've been ministering there as well. But this trip, they're going into some of the northern parts of the country where the message has not been. So just looking, really looking for some fruit from that, and just be in prayer about that. Amen. And those brothers are facing, they're in a battleground right now, so they need your prayers. I'd like to read from Psalms 105 this morning. Kind of having a bit of an odd subject, something that the Lord put on my heart probably about 6 weeks ago, and just was waiting for the right time to minister, and then kind of like Brother Eli, you know, Brother Doug started preaching and getting into some areas, and I thought, oh, he's going to preach that whole thing, and he just touched on it, read some of the same quotes that I had been looking at for this subject, but just believing that was the Lord confirming that the time is right for this. So, well, we're trusting in Him this morning. This may be more like a little bit of a Sunday school lesson, if that's all right, but believe that a little bit of Bible teaching helps settle us, amen, and helps us know our position in Christ. Psalm 105, and just like to read a few verses here from verse 12. It says, when they were but a few men in number, he's speaking of the nation of Israel, says, yea, very few and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Amen. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Amen. I'd like to speak today. This will be at least tonight as well. Perhaps even more beyond that. But for sure, today and tonight, unless the Lord changes things, which He always has the right to do. Amen. But I would like to speak today on the power of anointing. Where the Scripture says, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. So we want to understand this morning what we often use that term, right? We have certain words that we use, not only as Christians, but as message believers, right? That we have our own vocabulary that we get used to, and we just throw out words, and sometimes we know what it means, and sometimes we don't, or sometimes we mean something by it, and someone else will take it as, well, they have a different understanding of that meaning. And, you know, not to get all, you know, philosophical about language or anything, but language is important, right? It is the vehicle that the Lord has used to communicate with us, is a spoken and a written language. And that's what God has given us as humans, to be able to communicate a thought, right? And we understand that in the beginning God had thoughts, and He actually took those thoughts and He moved it from a thought to a word, which is a thought expressed, which is language, right? So we want to, all that to say that we want to understand what anointing means. Because you've probably heard that word, and we've all used it, or we've all spoken about it, and maybe used it in different situations and in different ways. But the significance of anoint or anointing, and we see here it's used in the Scripture where the Bible says, touch not mine anointed, right? So what does that mean? And who is the anointed, and what is the anointing for? And how does the anointing come? And what is it and what isn't it? When is it God and when isn't it God? And so we want to answer some of those questions, Lord willing, today. This morning we're primarily going to look at some examples in the Old Testament and talk about a very specific facet of anointing. And then this evening, Lord willing, I want to bring it into the New Testament. And by God's grace, we hope to speak about a little bit more about what we would generally call an anointing. But I really want to make This morning I want to make a distinction, and I want everybody, we really need to be on the same page with this, because if you don't, everything that I'm going to say this morning, you'll miss and misapply what's being said. So the important distinction is this, that there the anointing that I'm going to speak about this morning is a work of identification. Okay? There is an anointing, what we would commonly call, you know, maybe we would say, you know, there was a nice anointing in the service this morning, right? There is an anointing in terms of a spiritual influence or an atmosphere, right? That we would call an anointing, and rightly so. You know, hopefully this morning there's an anointing here on me to minister the word, right? That's a spiritual influence, right? That's a power that's available to us from a spiritual realm. But so this evening, hopefully we will go into that a little bit more. But this morning, I want to talk about it, especially in terms of the Old Testament, where we see this, that there is an anointing where an individual is identified or set aside for a work. Okay, they are anointed for a purpose. And that anointing is that act of anointing someone is different than the spiritual outpouring or anointing that, by the way, will also follow that. Okay? Everybody clear so far? All right, praise the Lord. As I said, they're related because the second follows the first. But it doesn't necessarily, the first doesn't necessarily have to be there for the second to be there, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Brother Branham preached the message, the anointed ones at the end time, right? And he was speaking about the anointing in terms of the power or the spiritual influence, right? And as we know from that, you can be a false one with a true anointing. Right? Or you can be a true one with a true anointing. Or you can be a false one with an evil anointing. You can be a true one with a evil anointing also, influencing you. Right? So, but that's for tonight. What we're talking about this morning is God's selection or God anointing a person for a specific office or a role or a job, something to do that God is placing them with an anointing to set them into that role. Okay? So we see this in the Old Testament primarily with priests and kings in particular. A priest, they were anointed before engaging in their duties. On occasion, and physically anointed, right? We're talking about a physical anointing with oil, right? They would take a natural oil and physically anoint the person with that oil, right? We know that, you know, there's the psalm about the oil running down Aaron's beard unto the hems of his garments and all that, right? They would actually pour anointing oil on them and anoint them for a position or a duty. Now, prophets in the Old Testament were not always anointed this way, but some were. In fact, God told Elijah, go anoint Elisha for the job to take your place. But not all prophets were that way. Prophets, most of the time, were identified by the vindicated word of God that they had in their ministry. Right, they were vindicated as prophets because what they said in the name of the Lord came to pass. But a priest, he had to be anointed for his office. And a king, likewise, they were anointed to be king so that all the people would recognize that that was the one that was chosen by God to be the anointed king. Amen? So this anointing oil, sometimes it was used, poured out with a horn or sometimes with a cruse. And there are, you know, many symbols that can go along with that. But the consistent symbol in all of this is the oil, which we know is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, right? Or a symbol of the Spirit, in particular the Holy Spirit, okay? So in the Old Testament, men and objects could be anointed with oil. It was not just for people. It was also for physical objects that were to be anointed with oil, showing that they were set aside and designated for a specific purpose. Okay? So we're going to read here in Leviticus chapter 8, verse 6. Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put upon him the coat, girded him with the girdle, and clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod upon him. And he girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod and bound it unto him therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him, and also he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. And he put the mitre upon his head. Also upon the mitre, even upon his forehead, did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. All these things are types and symbols, right? All those Old Testament things come up. But we don't have time to go into all that this morning. But it says in verse 10, Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle, right? So he's anointing the dwelling, the building, right? The tabernacle. And all that was therein, and sanctified them. So he anointed the tabernacle and everything that was inside of it. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar 7 times, and anointed the altar, all his vessels, both the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. So the articles of the priest's office that the priest would use before God inside the temple, he anointed them with the same oil and sanctified them. In fact, it says that he anointed them to sanctify them, right? In verse 12, and he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. Amen. So, not only does Moses anoint the priest, but also the physical elements in the tabernacle. And the Bible says to sanctify them. Now, the oil itself oil has some cleansing properties. But what it's talking about is symbolic, right? God recognized that they were set aside or sanctified for his service through this process of anointing them with oil. Now, we know that, as I said, that oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So it's symbolic of God's Spirit cleansing and setting aside these articles for His use. Amen? It's really important that we understand this concept, that this is what God recognized. That priest, because he was anointed and sanctified, God recognized him in that office as a priest. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is from the message Power of Transformation. He says, God likes to be worshipped. When you worship Him, it just isn't exactly singing a song as we do, but singing it in the spirit of worship. See, you feel the Holy Spirit bounce back. And I see great big young men here. Just think of the day that group of young fellows sitting there, young boys and their little wives sitting along, and a big rough man sitting there and just cry like little babies. So he's talking about entering into the spirit of worship, right? He says, why, look at today. They're out there on the street living in adultery and filth of the world and things. And to think that you can come apart and gather like this, whereas the psalmist said, behold, how sweet and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the anointing oil that was on Aaron's beard that ran to the hem of his garments. Which, that anointing oil, which you know what the anointing oil done. Listen to this. It preserved him to go in the presence of God. See, he had to be anointed with that oil before he went in the presence of God. And when the brethren can dwell together in unity, it's likened unto that oil. We then enter into the presence of the Lord with that anointing of brethren together in unity. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, again, Lord willing, maybe we'll go into that a little bit deeper tonight. But the important thing was that oil, that symbol, right, had to be there. That priest had to be anointed before he could go into the presence of God. Amen. Amen. This is not something to be taken lightly. This is a sacred thing before God. It carries with it great weight and responsibility. Right? Because here was a man that was going to go before God, and not only was his own life hanging in the balance. Because if he was not properly prepared and properly anointed and everything done according to the word of God, God would kill him right there. Right? But not only that, but he carried with him the opportunity of the sins of the nation to be forgiven. He was going into the presence of God, into the holies of holies, to offer to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, to go into intercede for the people's sins. And so it was a great weight of responsibility was on him, and he had to be properly anointed for that job. Not just anybody could go in there. Amen? Now, that man, that priest, he was a sinner. Right? There was nothing particularly special about him in terms of, you know, it wasn't like he was, they went and chose the best guy that, you know, he was the smartest or the best acting or, you know, had the best rapport or whatever. They didn't hold an election. Right? And pick the best. Who's going to be the high priest this year? We're all going to vote, you know, like we do in our country, right? Where we try and pick the best of the best to be our president, right? Yeah, how's that working out, right? But all of that didn't really matter. He had to be a Levite, right? He had to have a certain birthright. And then he had to be properly anointed for that job. Right? So his sins were among those that were going to be part of the offering, right? That he was wanting to be remitted or to be covered at that point. Amen. So properly anointed, a sinful man could walk into the presence of God. Because God recognized the anointing that was on him. The position that he was holding. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, they knew that he was still alive because he was making noise. Amen. In the presence of God, if he was completely silent in there, they knew something was wrong. But he had little bells on his garment and he was moving around, and they knew that he was still alive in the presence of God by the noise that he was making. But people that are not anointed of God, oh my, amen, oh hallelujah, amen, they cannot stand in the presence of God. There's going to come a time, brother, sister, where we all come before the presence of God, in different positions, right? But there's going to be a judgment time where man is going to have to give an account. And those that do not have that anointing on their life of the Holy Spirit will have to stand before the presence of God and give an account. Amen. So the only way he could survive the encounter was to have the anointing properly applied. And that anointing has a sacredness and a power before God. Before God. Amen? So, well, what do I mean by that? Well, we can look at an example in the Old Testament where a man did not have the reverence and respect for that. King Uzziah. right? King Uzziah was king. He was anointed to be king. But he was not anointed to be a priest. Amen? But he was a good man. Right? He could probably look at the priest and go, man, I know more about God than you do. I pray more than you do. I'm a better, right? I'm a better Christian than you are. He could maybe look at their lives and he could compare them side by side, and he was a good man before God. He thought he was holy. Right? And maybe he was right. You know, maybe he was a better person than every priest in that whole place. But yet he was not anointed to be a priest. Amen? And we know what happened. He said, I'm going to go into the temple and I'm going to offer incense. Right? I'm going to burn incense where only a priest would be allowed to do that. And God smote him with leprosy. The priest tried to stop him. Right? They said, look, you're out of your position. You are not anointed for this job. Yes, you may be a better person than I do. I have faults. You know, I know all of them. I can name them off to you. But I'm anointed for this role. And God recognizes that anointing that he's placed. And he honors that and allows me to carry out this office, king. Right? And the king, so it didn't matter how good the king was, how good his intentions were, he wasn't anointed for that office. Amen. This is from the Message Influence. Brother Branham says he got so lifted up in his mind and so self-secure in everything, so much that he tried to take a minister's place. Now he brings it down to present day, a Levite, he brings it down to today in the ministry. He tried to go in and offer incense, as we know in the Bible, to burn incense, which was only for a Levite to do. A priest that was anointed for that job. Amen. They had a call in their life. In that case, their call was they were born a Levite. Right? In our case, it doesn't have to do with your birthright or where you're born, but you have a call in your life nonetheless. And then there's an anointing that comes on that call to place you into that office. Amen. He says it was a priest that was anointed for the job, and he tried to take his place. And here we have an influence of this king to let people know that this carnal impersonation of each other today, it's not of the Lord. You're not ordained to such things. You'll never take another man's place. And another man can't take your place. Find where your place is and abide there, see. He thought, well, now bless God, I'm a king. The Lord has been good to me. I can do this. I've got this. This is my ministry. See, he was close to the Lord. He honored God. He was serving him. And he felt he got so inspired in his own thinking, right? That he overstepped the anointed call that was in his life, which is to be a king. So this is my ministry. Come to find out that in going on like that and tried to go over, stepped over what God was blessing him at. He says, if you're a good lay member, be a good lay member. Amen. Lord willing, maybe tonight we'll speak of that. But there is an anointing to be what Brother Brand describes as a lay member. A member of the body. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, anointed, as we're speaking of it this morning, I would like to say it like this. It's God staking a claim. God staking a claim. Right? And in the Old Testament, where they would take oil and put it on a man, that was a prophet usually would anoint a king. We know Samuel anointed King Saul. Samuel anointed King David and so on. Right? Where a prophet, which is an extension of God. Right? He was God's man for the hour. He had God's word. God used him. We know that Elijah, right? He told him to go anoint this king, go anoint that king, do these different things, right? And so that was God coming and through that physical act of anointing a king, he was staking a claim and saying, this is one that I recognize, I, God, recognize that this man is a king before Israel. Now, the first king of Israel, Saul, was anointed by Samuel, as we said. Again, he was anointed with oil, and it signified that God was placing his mark on him, or claiming him as a king over his people. Amen? Amen? Now, Saul, if you know the story of Saul, Saul was anointed by Samuel. Samuel came to him and anointed him with the cruse of oil and anointed him to be the king. And then Saul came under a different anointing. In fact, he came under multiple anointings. That's why King Saul is an amazing example of what we're talking about. He was anointed to be king, and that anointing, brother, sister, never changed. This is really important. This is the distinction that we're trying to make this morning, kind of what I'm trying to teach to you if I can. That anointing as a king, that staking a claim, never changed. But he came under different anointings in different parts of his life. Okay? 1 Samuel 10:9. This is right after Samuel anoints him to be king. And it says, and it was so that when he turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass. So Samuel had prophesied about things that would happen to him that day, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? Now, we'll read the quote later, but Brother Branham says Saul was not a prophet. As we know, he was a king, right? But he had the gift of prophecy, which Brother Branham said that the gift of prophecy could move on someone one time, maybe only for that one time ever, and then never move on them again. It was an anointing that would come over them, right? Which is the other type of anointing that we're going to speak about tonight, the spiritual influence. And so Saul, who had been anointed as king, now came under the anointing of these prophets and prophesied. He was not a prophet. He was not anointed to be a prophet. But he came under the anointing, the spiritual influence of the atmosphere. It says the Spirit of God came on him, right, and anointed him, and he prophesied under that anointing. Now, under a different anointing, Saul tried to kill David. And you know, later in his life, when he's out trying to kill David, he prophesies again. He comes to a place where his servants become under the anointing of prophecy. They come under the influence of the school of prophets, and they begin to prophesy. And the Bible says, I think, that Saul lay naked before Samuel, a day and a night, prophesying under an anointing. But what never changed in all of that was he was anointed to be king. Right? So you see the distinction here? He was anointed to be king, and that never changed. Chosen and set aside as king. Under God, they called, in fact, David called him the anointed of the Lord, which, if you take that, it's the Messiah of the Lord. Right? Messiah means anointed one. So it actually, they say in the literal translation in the Old Testament is Messiah of the Lord, set apart to serve under the Lord. And various commentators on this particular subject put it like this. When God anointed a king, in fact, he anointed more than just Israelite kings, you know. Right? Elijah was commissioned to go anoint a Syrian king, right? And he talked about Cyrus, his anointed king, right? So he anointed kings as a vassal king under the high king. Oh, I like that. Amen? God acknowledging, yeah, you're a king underneath the King of Kings. Amen. You are to serve my purpose on earth as a king underneath the King of Kings. Amen. And when God acknowledged that position, that was a sacred thing. That was a powerful anointing that God had made for Saul, for David, for Solomon, on and on and on. Right? So think about the power of this anointing as king, positionally placed, if I could put it that way. Amen. If you're spiritual, you know where we're going with that. Amen. Positionally placed as a king of Israel. An evil spirit began to anoint him. He tried to kill God's chosen, who was also later anointed, David. Right? He tried to kill him. He was vengeful for those that were loyal to him. He disobeyed God. He began to dabble in witchcraft. Break the laws and commandments of God. Broke his own laws. Amen? He turned away. He became rebellious against God. Right? But yet, saved. And yet, God honored that anointing as king. 1 Samuel 24:10. David, who has also been anointed to be king, right? He's been running from Saul. Saul's tried to kill him, and now Saul's been delivered into his hand. Right? He finds him there. He's asleep in a cave, and now he's got him. He's helpless before him. And you all know this, right? These notable words. He says, "Behold, this day, thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into my hand in the cave." David speaking to Saul. "And some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." That's where it says the Messiah of the Lord. The Lord's anointed. He refused to put his hand against the anointed of the Lord. David, who had been anointed for the same office, recognized that there was power and there was a reverence to what God had placed in Saul's life. Not a spiritual influence and anointing. Something that was much more solid. Now, was David just being charitable? Was he just being humble? Or was he reflecting God's attitude toward his anointed? Amen? Well, we see later on, if we read here in 2 Samuel 1, 5 through 16. I hope this is okay. We're just going to read some Bible verses here. Saul and Jonathan have been killed, and the messenger runs to David to tell him what's happened. And David said unto the young men that told him, How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan, his son, be dead? How do you know? Did you see it yourself? The young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon the Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, here am I. And he said unto me, who art thou? And I answered, I am an Amalekite. And he said unto me, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me. Saul asked the young man to take his life. For anguish has come upon me because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and I brought them hither unto my Lord. Man, I mean, he did a good deed, right? He obeyed him. He did what he asked, right? David took hold of his clothes and rent them. And likewise, all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul. Listen to this. This is the one that was trying to kill him. This is the one that harried him day and night and caused him to live a vagabond's life, the life of a common criminal fleeing from the law. And yet he is mourning and weeping and fasting. Some of us can't even fast, you know. I'll put myself in there, right? Fast for an enemy? How many of us would mourn and weep and fast for someone who is trying to kill you? And likewise, all the men that were with him, and they mourn. And for Saul and Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young men that told him, whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. You know, it just comes to mind. I'll just throw this out there while we're on this subject. But they were rivals, right? They were. David had been promised that he would receive the throne that Saul had, right? So they were actually rivals, although David didn't look at it that way. David, why? Because David was interested in, number one, what God wanted. And number two, he was interested in what was best for Israel. And you know, in the church, I think we could learn a lot from David's attitude. Amen? We should be looking for what is best for our brother and our sister. We should be looking what is best for the church of the living God. And this comes to the point where you have rivals. Right? And so much so that people would be happy to see a brother fall. Because they're jealous over their position. Or they're jealous over their influence. And when it came down in the New Testament where Paul was facing the same thing, he said, though they are preaching and they're saying all matter of evil about me, yet I will glory because Christ is being preached. Amen? He had the right attitude. He was interested in what was best for the people. He wanted God to be glorified, and he wanted the people to draw closer to God. He wasn't interested in his own position or anything like that. And so David, he's weeping and mourning because he's choosing to think about what God has used Saul for. Think about what good Saul has done and what God has, how God has blessed Israel through the victories and things like that. He's choosing to see the positive of God's anointed. And he's recognizing that that was God's choice. Oh my. Mourning and weeping for Saul and for Jonathan. Of course, he loved Jonathan. Amen. In verse 13, and David said unto the young man that told him, whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger and Amalekite. And David said unto him, listen to this, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? David himself had the opportunity. Right? And we know his word on it. He said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. And now he's... So was he just being charitable? Well, now he's holding this man accountable. He's reflecting God's attitude on it. This is God's anointed. You dare to put your hand forth against him? Why were you not afraid? Why did you not tremble at the thought of touching God's anointed? Why were you not afraid to strike down that one that God had placed his anointing on as king? No matter what else Saul did, right? The witchcraft and the evil spirits and trying to kill David with his spear, right in front of his whole family. Right? The humiliation that he brought on David by driving him out into the wilderness. All that set aside. He was God's anointed. And this man was not afraid to put his hand to him. David called to the one young man. He said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, thy blood be on thy head. For thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. Talk about power in an anointing. Amen. We're not talking about a spiritual power or influence. We're talking about the fact that God set him aside and identified him. My. What about when someone comes against you? There's going to be a day of reckoning. Amen? Touch not mine anointed. Amen. Think about it now. We got to make this real. This is not just in the Old Testament. This is not just a story about kings. Amen? There are kings and priests to God that are anointed for that purpose. They are set aside and sanctified. Amen. Think about every demon that has come against you. There's going to come a day of reckoning. For each one. Where the Lord will ask them, your mouth is testified, saying you have come against the Lord's anointed. Were you not afraid? Were you not afraid to come against my child? Mine anointed. Hallelujah. There's a statement where Brother Branham is talking about a man who comes against... I can't think of the exact person. I think it was Billy Graham, though. And he wrote some awful things about him. And he said he'll never get by with it. He said you'll never get by with coming against a child of God. Why? Because they are anointed of the Lord. That's not an anointing like that you would feel, but it's the Holy Spirit token on their life. So David wasn't just being gracious in Saul's defeat. He was reflecting God's attitude. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read here in questions and answers. Brother Branham had a discussion with a theologian about whether King Saul was saved or not. He said, he's speaking of the man he was speaking to or speaking with. He said, I want to ask you something then. Said, do you believe that Saul was saved? Brother Brown says, I said, Saul, the King Saul? He said, yes. I said, why? I said, sure. He said, now, remember, he was a prophet. And I said, correctly, the Bible said he prophesied with the prophets. He had a gift of prophecy. He wasn't a prophet, but he had a gift of prophecy because he was down there with the prophets when they were prophesying, right? So that was an anointing that was on those prophets. Saul came under the influence of that anointing and he prophesied. But we know that Samuel was prophet in that day. But Saul was prophesying with the prophets. Important distinction there, don't you think? He said, then if he was a prophet, then he was saved? I said, absolutely. He said, then I want to ask you something. Said, then you say Saul was saved, and the Bible said the Lord departed from him, and he become an enemy to God, and he committed suicide, and then say he was saved. I said, and you're a fundamentalist? I said, brother, you're just not reading it right, that's all. You're not reading what the scripture said. He said, well, Saul could not be saved if he become an enemy to God. I said, Saul was saved. Oh, he said, I said, he was a prophet. He had to be saved. See, God saved him. God's not an Indian giver, as we call it. He doesn't give it and then take it back. Right? Well, if God give you the Holy Ghost, knowing that he's going to lose you right down here, why, what a foolish thing it would be for him to give you the Holy Ghost in the first place. You see, he's equating that anointing him as king with you getting the Holy Ghost, positionally placing you. Right, amen. Amen? Through the Holy Spirit. Oil signifying that, right? He says you might impersonate the Holy Ghost and act like you got the Holy Ghost, but if you got the Holy Ghost, God knows your beginning from the end. So that's right. That's a loose way to run business. He's infinite. He knowed the end from the beginning and knowed everything that ever be. Every flower, every gnat would be on the earth. He knowed about it before the world ever began. So see, what would he run his business like that for? He doesn't do that. In other words, he doesn't give you the Holy Ghost one day to take it away another. He doesn't run his business that way. When he gives you the Holy Ghost, he does it knowing everything that you will do. Everything that you will think or say or manifest, he gives it to you with the knowledge that you will never be lost. That you are sealed from that point until the day of your redemption. Amen, because he knows the beginning from the ending. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He anointed Saul king, knowing everything that he would go through. Oh, glory. He says, if you watch, if you really got the Holy Ghost, you're saved eternally. I can prove that through the scriptures, and we'll have time after time, but to conserve the time to get these questions, I might say this. That fellow said, well then, what would you say about Saul? I said, sure, Saul was saved. I said, remember, Saul backslid. I'll admit that. He backslid, went away from God, because he was greedy. He liked money. He brought up all them sacrifices and things. When Samuel, through the word of God, told him to destroy everything, but he even saved the king, and he saved a lot of stuff and brought it up. See, instead of following the word of God, just exactly like it says, you put your own opinion in it, and that's where you backslide. That's what I think about denominations and things. They backslide because they don't follow the word, and you show them the word, and they turn their back from it and say, oh, our church teaches this. That's not right. It's what God said. And Samuel was commissioned to go down there, or Saul was commissioned to go down there and destroy everything utterly. Everything, you destroy it all. Instead of that, he saved some for sacrifice, he spared the king's life, and he done everything. Samuel walked out to him and told him, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him, and all like that. You see, the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord was no longer on him. But he was still anointed as king. Right? That's the difference. And Samuel died. And about 2 years later, the Spirit of God had departed from him, but he wasn't lost. Sure he wasn't. The anointing went off of him. See? The anointing went off of him. Not the anointing as that saved him. Right? Because Brother Branham doesn't finish his thought here, but he says later Samuel had died, remember, and he got into witchcraft. He got a witch, brings Samuel back from the dead, and Samuel says, you'll be with me. Yes. Right? So God preserved him. He was God's anointed. Hallelujah. No matter how much the anointing on his flesh and then the external changed, he got anointed with evil spirits, right? And called in David to play his harp and to change the atmosphere for him, right? To try and drive those evil spirits away. Yet he was in that anointing, but the anointing that saved him as king of Israel never changed. Amen. Hallelujah. So then we come to Christ, who is the Messiah, the anointed one, right? He was the anointed of God. He was the Word anointed, the fullness of the Word with the fullness of the anointing. Amen. Anointed prophet, priest, and to be king. Is that right? He had his own ceremony where God said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Amen. The Messiah, the anointed one that was to come. So what was shown in symbolic form in the Old Testament now has come up into the New Testament. And that anointing that was on Christ, that made him Christ, Christ means anointed one, right? And that's where we're going to go tonight, because Brother Branham preached about that scripture that said there will come many Christs, plural, right? Which means ones that are anointed. But that anointing is the spiritual power or influence anointing. Okay? But Christ not only had that, but he had the anointing as the Son of God. And that Spirit, that Holy Spirit that had anointed him as the Son of God, came back on the day of Pentecost to the church. And there was an anointing that caused them to speak with tongues. But there was also a pillar of fire that came down and anointed them as sons and daughters of God. Amen? The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the oil anointing today. Everybody okay? Amen. This is from the great warrior David. Brother Branham says, notice David was called by election. He was elected, called, anointed, and placed. Elected by God, called from the sheep herding to be king, anointed and positionally placed. Right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Abraham, election. Isaac, justification. Jacob, grace. Joseph, perfection. Nothing against Joseph. All right, there you are. Called. Are you a David? Called. Elected first by God. How many Christians here, raise up your hand? You're not a Christian by your desire. You're a Christian by God's desire. Amen. No man can come unto me except the Father draws him first. Oh, hallelujah. You was elected by God before the foundation of the world to be a Christian. That's scripture. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father calls him. So first you was elected. Called. Then when God elected you, then he called you and you heeded his call. And then, look what he says, then he poured the anointing oil on you, the Holy Ghost. What does the oil represent in the Bible? Holy Spirit. When he poured the oil upon him, baptized him with the Holy Spirit in a symbol form. Amen. I hope you get that. That just come fresh. He poured the oil upon him. It just went all over him. The horn full of it, amen, not sparingly, hallelujah. That's the way God pours the Holy Ghost on a man, not sparingly, just baptizes him with it, anointing him with the Spirit. Notice right then, when that anointing struck him, listen to this, he was positionally placed as king. So you see, that anointing actually accomplished a work as it came. So you would look back and say, man, he has been anointed as king. Right? Because the anointing came and positionally placed him as the king. Amen. You are placed positionally in Christ Jesus as kings and priests. Is that right? The moment you receive the Holy Spirit, God places you in the kingdom. An heir. What a beautiful picture. There you are. Hallelujah. Amen. Why Christ speak? David knowed the anointing oil was on him. Those things he's talking about facing Goliath, right? He says, didn't make any difference to him. He said, that Philistine will just be like the bear and the lion. So here I come. He predicted it before it happened. What did he do? He killed the bear, killed the lion, knocked the lion down with what? Slingshot, took a knife. And then the bear, lion, he killed the lion with a knife. The same thing he done to Goliath. He knocked him down with a rock, pulled up his sword, and cut off his head right there before it. What did he predict before it happens? You will be as they are. Why? He spoke the word that it would be and went forward to make it be fulfilled. Oh, brother, he spake and took over the situation of the day. And notice what he says right at the beginning. He says, because David knowed the anointing oil was on him. Hallelujah. He knew. Now, brother, sister, he may not have felt any anointing when he stepped out. Right? He may not have felt a surge of power. He may never have felt the power that took that the rock from that sling and killed Goliath with it. But he didn't have to. Because he knew he had been anointed to be king. He knew his position. He knew his place. Amen. And he knew God's heart. Touch not mine anointed. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what his confidence was in. He said of Samson, if you remember, he said of Samson one time, he said, Samson, if he could ever just reach back and feel those locks of hair. He said to Samson, that was like the Holy Ghost is to us. He said, you can just reach back and know that that token is there. Know that God has anointed you as his child. He said Samson could reach back and feel the locks of that hair. And then he knew he could go forward with confidence. Amen. Because God said, touch not mine anointed. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. As the eagle stirs its nest. I'm sorry, I've got perfect faith next to it. Got just a couple more quotes, if that's all right. He says, now watch. Now he appeared to us in the same form that he did to them in the Old Testament, and the same he did in the New Testament. He has showed by the same word, same Christ. And I declare to you that Christ is the Holy Ghost. The word Christ means the anointed one. Just a person that's anointed, that is the Christ, the anointed one. How many knows that's true? The anointed one there would be a man that would be anointed. Anointed with what? Bible said in Acts 2, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, anointed with the Holy Ghost, went about, done great works and things, see that God manifested and proved that he was in this man. And now we become anointed with that same spirit, anointed messiahs, messiahs of the last day, to shine forth the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to show that he's not dead, but in the form of the Holy Ghost, he's in his people, moving among his bride, with a love affair to her, pouring out into her himself. They are becoming one for the wedding supper. My, this is a full quote here, brother, sister. One with the wedding supper and the same signs promised by the same God in the same word is making the same manifestations. There's nothing left for us to do but believe it. And believe it is the substance that creates a perfect faith. Just think how numb we are just to think of that for a minute. Amen. Ones that are anointed of the Holy Ghost, positionally placed. Amen. As the eagle stirs from her nest, I think this is the last quote I have here this morning. It says, no, sir, Papa Eagle, they just look like him. They believe the same thing he does. They look like him. Yes, sir. They're made like him. They're built like him. He knows they're genuine eagles. Oh, my. That's what God wants, is a genuine Messiah. Yes, sir. He is Messiah. Messiah is the anointed one. We are His children, which have a lesser anointing. So as Jehovah Eagle is the great eagle, we're eaglets. He is Messiah. We have the same anointing, our Messiahs. Amen. Anointed Messiah means the anointed one. Are you anointed? Amen. What with? The same spirit that He was anointed with. We have it in measure. He has it without measure. He was God manifest in the flesh. We're sons of God, parts of Him. Come on, yes, sir. The very works that I do shall you do also. So this is what God recognizes as a son or a daughter. The one that has been anointed as He was anointed. Not with the fullness, but in part of that same anointing oil comes down on the child, and God recognizes them. Amen? It's not just accepting Jesus to be your Savior. That's like a baby that's conceived and sitting inside the womb and growing. Amen? And there's potential for life there. It's potentially a child stirring and moving and growing inside that womb. But we wouldn't say it's born until it comes forth. Until it's manifested. Right when it comes out and man, it gives that little scream and you give it a whack on the backside and get it moving, right? Then the parents would say, I have a son or I have a daughter. Right? It's that's that birth. We would say that's your birthday. Right? In the natural. And that's when the spiritual children of God are born. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes down and says, you are my child. I have a son or I have a daughter. Amen? Something that God had placed on the inside, the potential for life was there. But it had to come and be anointed for life. Then we say that the birth is complete. Now, they've got a long road to go after that, right? They're just babies. They've got maturing to do. But too many of the people never make it out of the womb. There's potential for life. But that spirit hadn't come yet, right? A Christian without the new birth has not been anointed as a child of God. They may have been under an anointing, right? They may have acted and been influenced and done many works under the anointing, but they've never actually been anointed by God as a child. Do you understand? That is the anointing that God recognizes and honors as your place. Just like the priest, when he's anointed, he walks in, he's the priest of God. Right? And God recognizes that position that He's given him, and He doesn't kill him. Right? And He lets him perform the duties of a priest. Brother, sister, we as children of God must have that anointing, right, to be recognized as a son or a daughter of God. As I think I preached it in the other message about sonship, but that's what happened when the sons of Sceva came to that demon. Right? They said, we cast you out by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And he goes, well, okay, I know Paul, and I know Jesus, but who are you? Right? Where is the anointing? Now, they might have been anointed, right, in that they were probably excited. Maybe there was an anointing that they were operating under, right? Maybe even they had been able to cast out lesser demons under that anointing. But they had never been anointed by the Holy Ghost, born again, with the anointing that said, I am a son of God. And so the demon, he pushed back a little bit. Right? Who are you? But brother, sister, when you have that anointing, there's no devil in hell that can touch you. There's no devil in hell that can cross over that word that says, touch not mine anointed. man, even think about Job. He said, you can take this and this and this, but don't touch his life. He's my child. Amen? And even Saul, all the things that he went through. We can go through things. We can backslide. Amen. But yet, there's a power to bring you back. Amen. To return you. Amen. To hold you and to keep you. There's an anointing of the Holy Spirit to give you power to overcome in this age. Hallelujah. An anointing on the believer, that is the token. And that token placed on the Word of God is what the hidden power is. Because you may not feel like it. Right? The anointing may not be there in terms of the outer influence. You may be in a situation where all you feel around you is devils. But yet there's an anointing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now tonight what we're going to talk about is that outer, that anointing, that presence, right? That spiritual influence. And we know that there are false ones with true anointings. We know there are false ones with false anointings. We know there are true ones that can come under a false anointing. But thank God there are also true that have a true anointing. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's bow our heads. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for your Holy Spirit token in this hour, Lord. We're thankful for, Lord, the gift, Lord, that you've given us. Something that will hold us, Lord. Something that's abiding through thick and thin, no matter what happens around us, Lord. Yet it has staying power, Lord. It's something that is universally recognized. It's recognized by the devil and his angels, but yet it's recognized by you and all your angels, Lord. That token, all we have to do is present it. Say, I've been anointed by God as a son of the living God. And that identifies who we are, Lord. It positionally places us in the body. Yes, we know we all have different gifts and different administrations and different roles and things like that in the body, yet each one a child, Lord. I thank you so much, Lord, for that. I thank you for your abiding presence, Lord. Lord, when I just look at these different ones in the Old Testament, Saul and David and different ones, Lord, I'm so thankful to live in this hour where we have access, Lord, to your Spirit, Lord. Where we have access to your presence, Lord, in an intimate way, Lord. We're not relying on some other person as a priest to go in and make intercession for us. We can come directly to you, Lord. And you're our high priest this morning. You're our intercessor. You're a personal intercessor for us, Lord. We can bring our faults, Lord. We can bring our failures directly to you, Lord. And Lord, ask you to just help us and forgive us, Lord. And Lord, you're faithful and just to forgive us, as your word says. I'm so thankful for that, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Lord, that no matter what happens, Lord, you promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Oh God, may these few words, Father, may they just find a bedding ground this morning. I pray someone was encouraged, Lord. Someone was challenged, oh God. Lord, if there's someone here who doesn't have that abiding token in their life, that being that anointed one, Lord God, may it make them hungry, oh Lord, to seek it with all of their heart. For you said, Lord God, that they that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. It's a promise, Lord. And if there's a desire, there was already something there to meet that desire. And Lord, we see where your prophets said that no man can come unto the Father, but my Father draws him first. No man can come unto me, Jesus said, without the Father drawing him. Lord, I pray that you would just draw this morning, Lord. And those that you have drawn, may we take comfort in that, Lord. I pray that you reveal it to them, Lord, in a greater way, Lord. That they are your property this morning. That they are your children, Lord. And Father, those that feel that pull and they feel that hunger, may they be comforted in knowing that it's You calling them. It's You drawing them. It's You by election saying, come on, child, now's the time. You've gone through many things in life. You've done this, you've done that, you've gone your own way for a time maybe, but maybe today is the day, and I'm calling you right now. Come to me. Oh, brother, sister, if He's calling you that way, don't hesitate this morning. Come unto Him, run unto Him in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that Your Spirit would just move in Your people this morning, Father. Lord, as we're going to dismiss the service, but Father, we're going to move out in expectation for tonight as well, Lord. Just asking You, Lord, just to speak to our hearts. And Lord, that Your abiding presence would be with us, Lord, no matter where we go. Lord, as we go to our homes or we go to a restaurant, Father, wherever that may be, Lord. Oh, God, You're so good to us, Lord. We just love You and thank You for all things, Lord. Just want to lift up our pastor once again to You, Father. Just pray that You would bless him and watch over him. And Micaiah, Lord, and our Mike and David and all the brothers there, Lord, just be with them, Father. We love You so much, Lord. I can't thank You enough for all that You've done, Lord. When we see the world in chaos, oh God, yet this anointing, Lord, that You've given us as the anointed ones, yet it holds, Lord. That's where our confidence is in You, Lord. It's in Your Spirit, Lord. It's in Your Word. You anointing Your Word in our lives. Bless Your people this morning, I pray, Lord, as we give You the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, brother. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing a song. What do you say? Amen. I have